Hi. Welcome back to another show of Balling Out Good Times. I'm here with my Secretary of Defense, Katie Rose Leon.
Arm the borders!
All right. And Secretary of State, Jeremy Hambone Hammond. How are we doing, Hammy?
I'll tell you how the surge is doing. Great.
Got another fistful of surge in me.
I called Blackwater up and they said, cool beans.
I'm dead.
You're just sounding like hard damn hard times.
Hard Dan Carlin. I told Katie if I was 3 inches taller, my voice would be deep enough to do Dick Cheney. And it's just not. And I just have to face that. No, I'll never be cast in Vice 2,
Heart Attack
Boogaloo.
Vice 2, the one where he shoots his friend.
That's in there for a second.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's like a cutaway. It doesn't explain it or anything, but it has him just shooting a guy in the face and kind of laughing.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
That's such a classic. Like, libs will never let that go. That was like their moment to shine where they were like, look, Dick Cheney is evil. He shot his friend in the face.
Funniest Daily Show episode they ever made, probably. I remember quoting it in my Spanish class in ninth grade, some line about wingless quail tards, which was on TV, and then the Spanish teacher being like, Alex, that is hilarious. Write it on my board for original thoughts that my students have that aren't lifted from television.
Please put half of the Alex problem word up on the board.
That's the John Stewart problem word.
We're rebranding it. It's the John Stewart problem word.
Was there ever if you were a professional comedian, could you get away with just quoting television in 2006?
I feel like some people did.
Carlos Mencia did it.
The news. There's literally there was a whole circuit of comedians when we were in high school who they would just go up there and be like, so did you see this thing that Bush said? He can't talk good.
I feel like that's still happening.
It's just
there's definitely still in some bar in like Tempe.
It's not as popular, but I also feel
if it
like
works, it works.
These are my favorite Bushisms.
I also feel like in that time period, a lot of people were like, I saw this musical act and it was crazy. Let me tell you about it in like order of and I'm like, that's not, you're just telling me how much fun you had last night. Like, that's not a joke.
It's not a bit.
My friend Dave Bergman has a 10-minute long chunk on the musical Cats and being forced to watch it on a cruise, and I thought it was very funny.
That's a little different. I'm talking about just like recapping a movie. Like, there was a lot of pop culture where it's just like, have you seen this shit? The squeak wool? Let me tell you.
This is David Cross would do it while paying for his flight over with squeak wool money. We know it's squeak wool money, David Cross. Well, I feel like we've started on a distant land of conversational topic. Let's go home to the world of anime. Ah, anime world. Look, skirts. Listen to them bristle in the wind. Oh, it's a demon king.
I'm kind of fancy, but also a little bit gay.
Shink, shink.
I know we want to do a radio show, but they're hard to edit, so I thought this might be a good workaround. Where I just transition badly enough we do a radio show. Okay, how was everybody's goddamn a week, huh? Let's get into it!
I mean, we just saw each other, which is
We did. We just taped a couple days ago. We're taping
not
again.
Not normally how this goes for us.
But well, I can talk about... I just got back from Mexico. I can talk a little bit about Mexico.
Ah, the Canada to the south.
Spicy Canada.
Ooh. Ain't no mayo on this island.
Actually, a lot of mayo.
Chipotle mayo. A
lot of mayo. They actually love mayo. They put it on hot dogs.
What a country.
Yeah, so folks at home, I was in Mexico City last week. That's why I wasn't on any of the episodes. First of all, highly recommend everybody go there. It's fucking fantastic. Folks, it's so cool.
It's warm. It's like here, but it's warmer.
Every,
no beaches.
Like, radical I know fucking loves Mexico City. All the anarchists I know, they're like, let's get our asses down to Mexico City.
Because it rules, yeah. Man. It's a cool place where you can go and see where Trotsky's ashes used to be.
Hell right. Yeah.
Michelangelo.
Before they got baked in that
Turtles.
Cookie.
Yeah, they got baked in the cookies. Do you know about that story?
We've
was it
talked
an
about it
cookie?
Several times.
Yeah, have we really?
We yes. have talked about it many times.
Okay.
But heck, it's interesting. That's why it keeps coming up. The man's murdered with an ice pick. How often does that happen?
Did I talk about on that episode that when I was in high school, I got forced to direct a short one-act play by David Ives called Variations on the Death of Trotsky?
Your theater department is insane.
Our theater, no, because what it was is we didn't have a theater department. It was just this crazy lawyer, and they're like, if you don't use the school budget, you can do whatever you want.
Oh, and so, then and they went rogue.
Yes.
How big was the budget? Did you get like...
We didn't have a budget.
And this is Robo-Trotsky. An important part of my play. He costs $10,000. Just the suit. Wait, tell us more about that, Katie.
Really? I haven't talked about that on here?
No.
Jeremy got forced to see me in a lot of bad plays.
I never saw that one.
Wow. Consent is so important.
I... God bless the Mark Gamel, who was a lawyer who just loved theater, and he wanted to give us as many opportunities, I guess, as young people to be empowered. So, like, at that point, I had tried writing and I acted comedically in a few things, but he was like, I really want you to try directing. I'm like, yes, neurotic with extreme anxiety and every sort of self-doubt. This will work out great.
Well, it could have been a blossoming for you.
Instead,
you could have had a great blossoming.
I had a full-blown panic attack. But the play, I believe it was David Ives, who's like an absurdist playwright, which, guess what, guys? Carol loved absurdist comedy because she was
so Katie.
Annoying. and the idea was the first scene shows Trotsky, it's just very straightforward. His wife comes in, you know, they have a conversation, and then the gardener comes in and kills him with the ice pick on the desk, and his head hits the desk. But then what happens is they do that scene like 10 times, but each time it's different. Like one time it's like a telenovela where the wife's having an affair with the gardener. One time it's like, you know, they're all like thematically different. Like one time it's a high drama. One time it's like a noir. I think I haven't read it since 2004, so forgive me.
Well,
but
that's a real directing exercise too.
Yeah,
a lot of pressure on you. Don't fuck this up, Katie.
I did.
Trotsky's ghost depends
listen,
on it.
Listen, I tried my best. It was a great experiment, but I was like, hey, thank you for the experience, but I'm a bottom bitch and do not like to be an authority.
Wait, so did you actually perform it?
No, I mean, I didn't perform. I wasn't in it. I directed it.
But did you actually
perform it?
Did they perform it?
Yeah, it was part of our one-act play festival. We did all sorts of stuff. I acted in stuff, too, but it was usually like, does someone fall down in this scene?
Get
her in here.
I was hoping there was going to be a twist where it was like, at the time, I would never betray Stalin. I couldn't.
No.
In good conscience.
But that's how I learned who Trotsky was.
Right.
Was that play.
He's that guy with the hot wife who gets murdered by his gardener.
I also had a play, like a short one act I was in where I had to say Mao Zedong, which I could not pronounce for the life of me.
Great.
And I just have this memory of him angrily being like, Mao Zedong, me being like, Mao blah blah blah.
Did you have like a very funny way you said it?
Yeah, well, I've jokingly mentioned this a few times on the show, but it is true that I have just like a butt ton of learning disabilities, so my brain's wired super weird. So
you have
for,
like a starters pack.
Yeah, so a long time I couldn't pronounce
a non-starters pack.
It was a non-starter pack. It's like you bought it at the store, you're so ready to go draft, and you're like, this is just land. Nothing else. I couldn't pronounce certain words for a long time. I couldn't say calculator at all. My brain would not let me do it. So for whatever reason, the dyslexia meets whatever spatial relations bullshit. I don't know. I couldn't say it. I can't remember the funny way I said it, but like it.
Mao Zedong.
I just couldn't say
calculator.
It.
Mao Zedong was the calculator of his time. Who knows the connections of the mind and time, space? Not I. I have not the training.
Ooh, I love fancy medieval king Alex.
Just so the listener knows, I have been a slamming monster energy drink around 20 minutes, and it's all happening now.
My lord!
Ooh, enters my chambers!
Methinks you've been hitting the energy drink too hard.
My advisors were wrong to give me this potion.
My lord, I seek your counsel. My lord!
Not now, servant.
But my lord,
the monsters
keep pillaging my lands.
And they are right for wheat and property. We're like a few classes away from an improv podcast every time. I love it. It's like never really good. Oh, wait, I return my focuses to Katie and her stories.
What?
The
I don't
stories.
Know. You guys are
Katie.
What other bullshit about
tell
my
us
sad
more
life?
Of your travails, learning and loving in Long Island.
What? You gotta give me a prompt.
Okay,
here.
Let's flesh this out.
To Jeremy more.
Yeah, can I talk about this annoying guy I spent a week with?
Yeah, yes. Wait. This was Mexico talk,
I have
wasn't
to
it?
Vent about this man.
Yeah,
here's
please.
The thing about Mexico: no kings.
No king.
No kings.
I don't know enough to verify that.
There's no kings.
Okay.
Ever? In Mexico?
I mean, I guess they were.
There was a Spanish king.
Yeah.
Here, okay, Jeremy.
Indigenous king, sure.
Alex, I'm gonna pass the talking stick to Jeremy now.
So I spent a week in Mexico with a bunch of my friends, and one of the people I had to spend time with has a major case of what I would call young socialist disease.
No, he wouldn't shut up.
Wouldn't shut up.
Oh, newly woke.
Newly woke man syndrome is another version of this, but this is a very specific subset of that where he's real into Chapo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
That's a new form.
Ugh.
You know, and then you can have horny young socialist disease where they become an ass reductionist.
Alex, did you finish that monster?
No, there's half of it left.
Have any more of it. Give it here.
Are you sick? Can
my
I drink
word
it?
Powers are becoming
give me the monster.
Very strong right now.
Alex, are you sick?
No, I'm not sick.
Okay, great. I'm drinking the rest of your monster energy drink.
There's a lot of sugar in it. That's fine. It's going right to your hips.
When you both get mono next week, I'm going to laugh.
It's
going
to be hilarious.
Mono energy drink.
So, a newly woke man who I spent the week with said such things as, "It's Britney, bitch."
Yes.
"That man has brain worms."
Okay, finish your thought.
It's Bernie, bitch.
Yes. Okay, I'm like, Britney Spears is a socialist thing? I was about to be like, I am really out of the loop on this.
Oh, but how sick would that be? Because then she'd be crossing all of our cross tabs.
Yeah, that's true. What a dream.
Amber Lee Frost wrote an article for
something.
Jacobin called "It's Bernie, bitch." And she said, hey, make sure you say this on your Mexican vacations. All of the time.
Make sure you torment all your friends by saying it's Bernie, bitch, constantly.
So then I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Did you get cornered?
Oh, no, we've already had that.
Okay.
He's like part of my friend group, and unfortunately I've already had to have the conversation with him about how I know these people.
Because I find it really interesting. There's different levels of like podcasting and stuff like that has like made our lives very strange in the mm-hmm. sense that like who people consider celebrity is like a huge spectrum now.
Yeah.
And also in comedy, it's like that too. Because like when you first start out and you're nobody, like literally anyone seems bigger than you.
Yeah, oh my God.
So you get in these weird conversations with people where you're not even trying to be like big timey, but they talk to someone that you've seen throw up and shit their pants before because you've known mm-hmm. them since you were 12 or whatever. And yeah. then they're like talking about
jeez,
them.
Jeez, Katie.
Not you.
Tell the world.
Oh my God, that wasn't even about you.
That could be about anyone.
I'm just, it's very, like, disorienting.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been confronted over my powerful podcasting associations, but people have talked to my goddamn wife.
Oh, no, leave
stay away from my wife!
Honestly, stay away from his wife. Next time you go in public, like, hire me as interference.
You're looking for security work?
I am, the reason I get invited to weddings, awkward social gatherings, is I am just like a sponge to absorb randos.
Wow, Yu Hakusho over here.
Just like, Arc the bodyguard, Whitney Spears.
Whitney Spears.
It's a Mad TV
Whitney
sketch.
Whitney Houston starts singing, and I just throw myself in front and be like, wow, that's so interesting.
The other thing that Newly Woke Man kept doing all weekend was he was the... My fiance speaks Spanish very well. She was doing a very good job at getting us around.
She used to teach it, right?
No, but she used to live in Spain.
Okay, yeah.
But she speaks Spanish very well, and she was getting us around quite fine. This fella also speaks Spanish slightly better than my fiance.
Oh,
and
no.
For this, became what we began to refer to as Señor Mexico. Where everywhere he would go, he would like chit-chat with somebody and then tell us things about Mexico.
And you guys would be like, oh, word?
Oh, great. Hey. Fantastic. I'm glad. I'm glad to know that driving an Uber in Mexico City gives you a lot of good money to spend.
You know, in Mexico, it's pronounced Uber.
Uber pool.
It's Uber Piscina.
I just want to point out that we're podcasting in my bedroom today, and Alex is laying on my bed like we're having a gossip session. I love it so much.
I am on my tum, head propped on a palm, legs crossed firmly in the air.
So which of the senior boys do you have a crush on, Alex?
Alex is currently twirling his finger in the mic cable.
I have gum sticking out of my mouth, and I'm twirling it around my finger and putting it back in my mouth.
All right. Is everybody ready to move on to a segment?
With my life? Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, no more Mexico juice?
No, that's about it.
Spill
that's,
the hugo.
That's the only other thing I would tell you guys about is how cool the trains are.
They got cool trains?
Folks, they run on rubber wheels. The underground metro runs on rubber wheels, so they're like fucking silent.
Wow.
And they're like the doors between the cars, there's no doors. It's just one long car, basically, with like little pivot points in the middle.
Wait, okay. But when you're pandering for cash, how do you fall off the train?
The best part, the train people who sell stuff are like on a whole nother level than they are in New York, where like here, you know, you'll see like the person with the candy.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see like maybe a mariachi band, a Showtime Boys. Occasionally a churro cart. Fucking Mexico City, man. Somebody was there selling toothbrushes. Somebody was selling like iPhone chargers.
That's useful.
And they're like, yeah, exactly. And every couple of seconds, someone's coming through just like, toothbrush, toothbrush, toothbrush. And like, people are buying them.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking cool as hell, man. Cool trains.
Important question. Do they have mariachi bands on the trains in Mexico?
No, but they have a park where all the mariachi bands hang out.
That's much better. It's because so you cool. want to see them at the park and not when you're like reading a book.
There's like a public
square. Surprise, mariachi band.
We didn't know about this, but we were just at this public square. Just hanging out, having a taco, and then we like look around, and everybody's a mariachi band in all different kinds of outfits and shit. And you just look around, and you're just like, I feel like this is like a gang fight that's about to
take
place.
Gotta be like a movie. You know how they have like all the like Battle of the Bands American teen movies? But it's just everyone trying to be number one mariachi.
It's like the Warriors conference of gangs.
Oh, yeah. Someone's about to go up and be like, we need to unite the mariachi.
Can you dig it?
They killed Cyrus.
All right.
Should we get into the episode?
Episode is The Game After Life.
Okay.
We're all familiar with the board game Life.
Yes. What's the board game you play after life, though?
Well, that's the hook, and it leaves you wondering what's going on. So we join in on our old friends in Dragon Ball GT. Most of them have been taken over by the evil Mountain Dew alien baby. Oh, no. The ones that are still alive are Hercule and Pan, and they have hidden inside of our old friend, Majin Buu. He's a big old puppy pink friend.
Alex, can you sit like a person, please?
No, I can't.
Talk to the back of your head.
He who makes a beast out of himself gets rid of the pain of running a podcast.
Next round, you two are switching spots.
So...
Alex.
I'm rotating. They say...
Alex, just sit up.
I'm stuck a little bit. It's...
To be fair, my memory foam pad does absorb people.
You don't know.
Alex! Alex just wrapped a microphone cord around himself like a little kitty cat.
I have so much to summarize. Majin Buu, he swallowed his friends to keep them safe from the nasty alien. Hercule and Pan are hiding in little cocoons inside of their pink old buddy.
Victims of class struggle.
In a way, victims of class struggle. They then class struggle out of Majin Buu. Into the terrain of society, somewhere in the Arctic.
Yeah.
Pan falling on the ground and crying, ooh-hoo, ooh-hoo, I'm a sad little girl.
The tears of class struggle.
I really related to these class struggle cheers, because Pan, it's the first time that she really stops being an egomaniac, and she just lays on the floor, like, staring at the sky, and just like, what is there to even live for?
Pan, this episode is the face when you give up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. You've all seen the memes. That's Pan. And she's crying, and Hercule's like, no, I got a skinny body in GT.
If you just, you could just replace them all with various faces that SpongeBob SquarePants has made, and yep, you'll have memes.
Hercule is Mr. Krabs. in a way. So. Yeah.
Well, you know, Pan's been reading a lot of mental health advice off of Tumblr, and it turns, someone told her you can just do yoga, and she weaned off her mental, antidepressants. And
You don't need antipsychotics if you know your chakras.
Yeah. And, you know, it turns out that Reiki wasn't doing it, and Hercule walked in on her just staring at the ceiling, and he's like, I need to be the adult.
I'm your grandpa here. Why don't you try herbal medicines? So they're having a hard go of things. Meanwhile, baby is full on popping bottles this episode. He's taking over the world. He's got the finest Bulmas.
Yeah, he's
in
got
the palm of his hand.
He's made a very big throne for himself to survey.
And shiny and floating above an abyss.
And, you know, it's one thing to just hand over your Dragon Balls. It's another thing to have a hot bitch serve it to you in a goblet.
Oh, damn. Didn't realize Baby was played by Drake. Am I right, Drizzy Drake? It's 2013, and I'm being topical.
Man, we should have put that in my anime match profile. Will you be my baby? I'll serve you like a king.
Baby is being served the Dragon Balls in a goblet. from his twisted friends, Gohan and Goten and Trunks and Bulma.
Worth noting that the way that we know that they're twisted is they all just have the same shit-eating smirk.
Yeah, they look like they just farted and no one found out.
No, they all look like they just wrote a really scathing comment on Reddit and went, yeah. Checkmate.
It's that face you make when somebody does a whataboutism and you about to call them.
They throw the Dragon Balls into the abyss, spiraling down, down, down. Baby calls upon them and he says, hey, remember the moon? Let's bring that back, but let's have it be Planet Vegeta, but I'll call it Planet Tuffle. And the dragon says, okay, and then it happens.
And then it happens there.
Folks, it's that simple. You tell the dragon what you want.
Here's the thing, though. He didn't say where to put it.
I was thinking the whole time, like, why didn't it immediately crash into the Earth? And,
yeah.
You know, these are the scientific details that Dragon Ball is not paying attention to.
Folks, it's outrageous. These planets would collide.
They'd collide.
Just like Power Man 5000 says.
Is gravity not even in the running?
Is this what happens when worlds collide?
Are you ready?
Is this what it's like?
I can't think of any of the other words in that song because it's so distorted and crazy.
It's such a stupid song.
But the video is fun. Check out When Worlds Collide by Power Man 5000.
Jeremy's favorite band.
Jeremy's favorite band.
Next to Chumbawamba.
Yes.
Socialist.
It's not like Chumbawamba. Not true.
I know. I'm just... is it a lie? Am I doing a bit? I'm trapped inside the bit. Help me, guys. I can't stop the voice. The voice is controlling me now.
Show me the lie. All songs are class struggle.
Class struggle.
We cut to...
I wish you would step off the ledge, my friend.
You can
class
cut
struggle.
Ties with all the lies you've been living in.
Lies such as genocides. Famines caused by capitalism.
I honestly can't segue that naturally into what happens next, but Goku...
Because even in the show, it doesn't segue naturally into what happens next.
You know
next.
What it is Goku is in a void, much like the void of real information about Holodomor. in that space of starving poles, he... realizes that he is in a place beyond life. A voice comes out to him. This is little baby Goku with the muscular body that is small. And he says, where am I? And the voice says, why, you're on my special game show, little friend.
Yeah, it's a wisecrack. It's like a very much like a gangster wise guy voice.
Yeah.
Las Vegas lights start popping off. Frank Sinatra starts singing.
Yeah, old Frankie.
Oh, Blue
Frankie
Eyes.
Frankie Blue Eyes.
The Rat Pack. Hey, when men were men and dames were dames.
And
take a chance.
Black people were friends with white people, but only when they didn't talk so much.
You could smoke at the bar. Blow on my dice, sweetheart. This one's for you.
Now get out of here. It's a casino. You bad luck.
She's loose, but I'll never marry her. Look, be a lady to that.
23 skidoo. Different time.
Did we do them all? Did we get them all?
This is what it's like, Alex. When...
When worlds collide? When worlds collide? I am describing a very important character, Suguro.
Folks, we're all monsters. We're all monsters here.
Suguro, the blue man who is a game show host. The angel from hell. He lives in game show world, and oh no, Goku's got to play his game show, because it's a filler episode, and it's two parts.
It's like a Mario Party, except you die.
He makes Goku play Mario Party, even when he's just trying to pick up weed.
It's the most egregious type of filler, too, where, like, it's not just... It's not just that it doesn't relate to anything else. It's that it doesn't even relate to something that could possibly develop his character or do anything. It's just, there's a dimension where it's a game show. We'll never see it again after this.
It's like on the same ideas brainstorm board with like, what if Goku was on season 2 of The Real World? What if Goku's in the band Good Charlotte? These are all episodes we could do.
I want a dance competition. Can he dance?
No, Goku can't dance. And maybe that's where the conflict is. but yeah, Goku, he doesn't want to play the game, and he's crushed by dice, and he's a dumbass, and you know, he's going to play it. He has no choice. It's a filler episode.
Yep.
Lots of stuff happens on the game board.
Yeah, I'm going to mostly fast forward the game. I couldn't summarize it for you. I've forgotten
right
it completely.
On past this episode.
Supreme Kai is in this episode for a second, and he explains, as a deus ex machina device, when Goku was going to be crushed by the revenge ball of death that baby threw, he picked him up and was flying away, but he got sucked into the Sogukai space. I wrote it down somewhere.
Sagoro.
Saburoku space. And that's the one place where Kais can't do that there.
It's the worst kind of filler because it even like it required that they like.
There's no Kais allowed in the girls' locker room in Saburoku space.
They could have just as easily just skipped these two episodes and then Goku just like deflected the ball. It doesn't matter. But they needed to like get him out of there, so they gave us the Kai getting him out of there, and then they were like, but wait, we also need to explain why the Kai couldn't get him out of this.
And also, skipping past the part where the Kai is supposed to be God, and I don't see why he would care if Baby crushes the whole Earth. He's in charge of thousands of Earths. But, you know, we're moving on past that because it's Saburoku space, baby. Forget it. Goku, meanwhile, gets owned in trivia.
There's one thing worth mentioning in the game board in which Goku loses and gets a psychological torment. And,
oh, yes.
And one of the psychological torments is Chi-Chi appearing in a nurse costume with a giant needle and then shoving it in his little tender butt.
Yeah, and she hits his prostate, which makes him cry.
Yeah, he like shoots in his pants, and I'm like, this is personal, Goku.
There's a close-up on his pants, and they just flood with seed.
Falling out the bottoms of the pant legs.
There's a close-up, and it goes, it's that Goku drip.
Listen, Goku. We're hanging out at this bar, and I'm happy to discuss your kink, but I do not consent to be involved with it.
Do not make us part of it. We are your friends.
Sometimes it's for friends, but you have to ask.
You have to ask. And that's polygamy. Where are we?
We're done. This episode's over.
So all you need to know is while they're playing the game, Suguru is cheating the whole time. So he's not even being very nice about the game he's making Goku play. And that's pretty much the episode, guys. Great episode, I thought.
Loved it.
Jeremy Hammond, out of 7 Black Star Dragon Balls.
No Dragon Balls.
Wow. Not even for relationship goals?
No Dragon Balls.
Okay, Katie, out of 7 Black Star Dragon Balls.
1 Dragon Ball just for that last shot of Bulma and baby Vegeta snuggled up, but yeah, the rest of it was garbage. Really, all I want is that image on a t-shirt and then these episodes not to exist.
Right. Especially because baby almost looks like he's from a different show or something. Yeah. He looks like he's just like Commander Cool and Bulma and they're gonna fuck.
And you're like, this website rules.
Wow. Newgrounds.com is improving. I'm gonna give it 1 out of 7 Dragon Balls. The filler is outrageously unnecessary, and a good amount of it is just a girl crying, and there was no upside. Bad episode.
Do better, Kira Toriyama.
We expect better from you. Just like we expect the best from our neighbors to the south in Mexico.
And now the song.
Play us out, Mexican band.
yourself, or yeah, cause we can't go. What is it really that is in your head? One little life that you had just got.